A lady said to me one time, when you teach, I know you're telling the truth because you go so fast, nobody could tell lies that fast. Well, today I am going to speak rather quickly because I want you to get this down. Because without knowing and responding to the principle that we are about to see, your marriage will be destroyed. Without knowing and responding to the principle we're about to see from Jesus, your children will be destroyed. Jesus states the primary method by which a wife and family, our finances and our houses are destroyed. Here it is. Look at it with me. Here's what he said. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his goods. Look at this now. No man can enter into this house and spoil this man's goods unless he bind the man that God puts in charge of the house first. And then he can come in and spoil his goods. You see, God has placed a protector, a strong man, to guard every home. No enemy can take the goods out or spoil the house unless he or she first binds the strong man that's in charge of the house. And so, look at this again. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, then he can spoil his goods. If this man is not vigilant, if this man gets defeated, if this man gets bound, the enemy, whoever that enemy is, can spoil his goods. Now, a man's most precious possession is his wife, his life partner. Look at this verse now and see the application with me. No man can enter into a strong man's house and, look at this now, spoil his wife except he first bind the husband, and then he will spoil his goods. Let's look at this one more time. No man, nobody, can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his wife except he first bind the husband, and then he will spoil the whole house. Let's make another application of this principle. No man can enter into a strong man's house, look at this now, and spoil his children except he first bind the father, and then he will spoil his house. God has placed fathers in charge of homes responsible to protect and care for wives and children. And if those strong men, husbands and fathers, get bound by an enemy of any description, then the protection is lost. Let's make sure we understand it clear. Fathers are protectors of wife, of children, and of household. Secondly, they're not only protectors. Fathers are to be the caregivers of their wife, their children, and their household. And thirdly, fathers are to be the leaders of their wife, their children, and their household. Now, let's look at how the scripture summarizes this principle. Look at it with me. When a strong man, armed, look at this now, if he keeps his palace, look at this, his goods are in peace. His wife is in peace. His children are in peace. But watch this now. But when, look at this, a stronger than he shall come and overcome him and takes from him his armor wherein he trusted, look at what happens. Then he divides his spoils. He gets the goods. Now, every one of us has some enemies. In fact, Jesus put it this way, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There are thieves. The devil is a thief. And the problem today is that many people partner with the devil to destroy your marriage, to destroy your family, to destroy your finances and to destroy your household. On the other hand, fathers are the strong men set by God to protect the wife, the children, the finances, and the household. You might ask, well, what about single people? And the fact of it is that the Bible teaches that all singles are to be in families. Nobody should be adrift alone, forsaken. Look at the scripture. God sets the solitary, that's the person who's single. Listen, look at where he puts them. He puts them in families. And watch this now. He brings out those which are bound with chains. In their single condition, he puts them in families so they can get rid of their bondages. Every single should be vitally connected to their family, or if they're fatherless, a family. That's why God in the scriptures emphasizes our role in caring for the fatherless and the widows. The scriptures are plain about when a person is to leave the family structure. Look at this scripture. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. What's that cause? He leaves to marry so that he can begin another family structure, which will usually be just like the one he is raised in, unless he learns some lessons, and we hope that's so. Now, remember, the wife, the children, the finance, and the household can only be ruined, destroyed, desolated, if the enemy, whoever that enemy will be, binds the father, binds the husband, and then they can spoil his goods. Now, this binding of men, this bondage that holds them enslaved, can last a long time. Look at this scripture with me. In fact, look at this. Ought not this woman, look at this, Ought not this woman whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond? Can you imagine being bound for 18 years? And the fact is, my friend, that men, husbands and fathers can be bound for a long period of time. In fact, a lifetime. Well, the question we must face today is, what is it that binds a strong man so that the enemy can spoil his wife, so the enemy can spoil his children, his finances, and his household? What binds strong men? And so, jot these down, because the first one, the scripture teaches us, is lust. Look at this. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Watch the next verse. His own iniquities shall take the wicked, and he shall be holden with the cords. Held with the cords, bound with the cords, if you please, of his sins. And what will happen with him? Look at the next verse. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. Let's look at another verse that shows that lust binds a man. For by means of a whorish woman, look at this now, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Lust binds, destroys a man. Well, the question, I guess, is how does lust destroy a man? So jot these down in your notes. Number one, it destroys his love for God, his wife, and his children. Look at the scripture. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You see, lust draws a man's desires away from his wife so that his love for her cools. Likewise, it cools towards God. Likewise, towards his children. Because lust destroys love. Love for God, love for wife, love for children. He becomes cold. Does cold things, heartless things. Because lust destroys a man by destroying love. Secondly, lust destroys his marriage through mental adultery. Jesus put it this way, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. In other words, the damage, the psychological, emotional, mental, and spiritual damage still happens because of lust. In fact, look at one more verse with me on this subject. Having eyes, look at this, eyes full of adultery. And what happens? Cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have exercised with covetous practice, and they become cursed children. Look at this. Which have forsaken the right way. They've forsaken the right way, and they are gone astray because lust damages the marriage through mental adultery. Lust distorts his view of love. The Bible describes love in the 13th chapter of Corinthians. Suffers long and is kind and does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinks no evil, etc. But you see, lust makes a man think something's love that's not, and he loses and distorts his view on love. Then lust destroys a man because it exposes his family to Satan's destruction. The verse we've been talking about that Jesus gave us. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his wife and children except he first bind the strong man, and then the enemy will spoil his wife, his children, his finances, and his household. And so lust exposes the whole family to Satan's destruction. Oh, I wish we had time to pitch a mental tent here for a few moments and give further warning, but know it for sure that lust does destroy a man. It also destroys him by producing an insensitivity and conflicts which make a man angry. And when he gets angry, it causes him to overcorrect. Look at this. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. The rod of his anger shall fail. He gets more angry, uses the rod of anger, not the rod of correction, but the rod of anger on his children or whoever, and he overcorrects. Then lust destroys the man because it corrupts his nation with wickedness. It affects all of America, if you're an American. Look at the scripture. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom. Look at this. And the land become full of wickedness. See, America has become immoral and wicked because men have become immoral and wicked. Lust damages an entire nation. And we know that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What binds a strong man? Number one, we learned, was lust. Number two, bitterness. Look at the scripture. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. And so bitterness stirs up strife, which will destroy a man. Look at this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. Lest a root of bitterness spring up inside you, and it troubles you, and look what happens, and it defiles many others. Angry, bitter fathers bound by bitterness cause destruction to their wife, to their children, to their household. What are the consequences of bitterness? In these things bind a man, don't you see? Well, bitterness causes, there's consequences to them. Number one, depression. Number two, mistrust, criticism, insensitivity, pride, tension, ungratefulness, vengeance, if you please, even causes chemical imbalance in the body. You go to the doc, he says you're sick because you have a chemical imbalance. But why do we have a chemical imbalance? It's because bitterness, among other sins, causes that imbalance. So bitterness, remember, what binds a strong man? Lust can bind him. Bitterness can bind him. Look at this, number three, greed can bind him. Look at the scripture with me now. So are the ways of everyone, look at this, that is greedy of gain. Watch this. Which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Now watch this next verse. For he that is greedy of gain troubles his own house. If a man is bound by materialism, He will trouble his wife. He will trouble his children. He will trouble his finances. He will trouble his whole household. What binds a man? Do you see it here? It affects his own household. Of course, you might be asking, well, how does greed destroy a family? Well, number one, it produces a work-centered lifestyle so that the man's life revolves no longer about around his wife and children, but around his work. And then number two, it causes covetousness. In fact, if he's greedy, he'll want this, want that, and live a very unsatisfied life because greed can never be satisfied. It causes an increase in debt. We don't spend what we have because we want more than we can afford, so we borrow, and now we end up in debt. Greed destroys a family through debt. It creates insecurity because a mother or a wife or children see a father who's never got enough to make him happy, and what insecurity that creates. And then that it causes a man to be an earthly-minded example to the rest of his family, and they will follow in his footsteps as well. And then it robs a man of family time. It robs the whole family of time. Greed consumes. It binds a man. And if the strong man that's meant to guard the home, guard the wife, guard the children, is bound by any enemy, then don't you see, those inside the home can be destroyed, in fact, devastated. What binds a strong man? Lust, bitterness, and greed, and then ignorance. Scripture says, be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. People, men who think they know it all and don't consult the Scripture, don't consult higher authorities, think they know what family and marriage is about, but go on in their ignorant ways. They are bound by their ignorance, and who pays the price? It costs a wife dearly. It costs the children dearly. And then what binds a strong man is unscriptural priorities. He can have values, but if he has them in the wrong sequence, that's why this scripture says, David prayed it, order my steps in thy word. The word of God has to dictate for us our priorities. That priority list is found in the book of Ephesians. From verse 1, chapter 1, to chapter 5, about verse 18, the highest priority is God. Then the second highest priority is, if you're single, it's your parents, or if you're married, it's your wife. The third priority is children. The fourth priority is our occupation. And the fifth priority is, in fact, our ministry to others. We must order our lives according to scriptural priorities, because a misaligning of priorities will bind a man and keep him from doing what indeed he should do. Well, the question now becomes, what should a bound man do? If you're listening today and one of these things or several of them have bound you, lust or bitterness or greed or wrong priorities whatever binds you, whatever enemy has got you captured, your imagination is controlled, your mind is consumed, your emotions are misplaced, and you are bound. What should you do if you are bound? And I'm here to tell you so happily that the Bible has precise steps that you can take. There are seven of them. I'm going to show you the scripture first, and then I'm going to show you the seven steps that are plainly visible in the scripture, that if a bound man will do this, he will be set free. And if he is set free, Jesus said he'll be set free indeed. And if he's free indeed, no longer will any enemy be able to destroy a marriage and a wife, a family and the children, finances and a home. So let's look at what the scripture says. Look at it with me. It's found in the book of Job. Here is the plain teaching of Scripture. Look at this. If they be bound in fetters, now watch this, and if they're held in cords of affliction. This Scripture is about to tell anybody who's bound exactly what to do. Here's what will happen. Then he shows them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. Now watch the next verse. He openeth also their ear to discipline, commandeth that they return from iniquity. And if they obey and serve him, look at this, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. If the scripture is saying that if we will obey these seven steps, I'm going to go back over them, show you clearly what they are. If you obey these seven steps, you will spend your years in prosperity. But what happens if we don't obey? The next verse tells us. But if they obey not, that is these seven principles after they're bound, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge. Okay? But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. Now watch this. Because they cry not when they are bound. When they are bound, they don't cry out for help. And what happens? They die in their youth, and their life is among the unclean the rest of their lifetime. The life that should be living, the life they should be living, just stops. No progression, no maturing, no experience what life is really about. Now, let's review these seven plain directions from Scripture about what a man is to do if he's bound. Look at this now. Again, if they be bound in fetters and be held in the cords of affliction. Here we go. Here are the seven steps. Begins with the next verse. Number one, a man needs to recognize what has got him bound. Look at the scripture. Then he showeth them their work. He shows them their condition. All right, now watch this. Because the second thing is, he needs to recognize the transgressions that got him there and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He must recognize what has him bound. Was it bitterness? Is it lust? What's got this man bound? He must recognize it. God will show that to you. And then the second step is to recognize that you transgress certain commands of God, and that's why you got bound. And so the key to being loosed, if a man is bound, step number one, recognize what has him bound. And number two, recognize his transgressions that caused him to get bound. What law of God did he violate that gave the enemy the power to bind him? And number three, the next step is to practice new disciplines. Look at the scripture. He, this God, opens their ear to discipline. Because what's happened now is that we've got bound, we recognize our transgressions, but what we're going to have to do is develop some new disciplines so we not only get back on track, but stay back on track. It means, for example, you may have to memorize a whole lot of verses about overcoming lust or overcoming bitterness. You'll memorize scriptures about forgiveness. You will develop them as disciplines. You may have to discipline your eyes where you look. That's what Job did in chapter 31. Why then should I look on handmaidens to lust after them? He made a covenant with his eyes not to look. He developed a new discipline. So the third step is to practice some new disciplines, meditations from Scripture, new times of prayer. And then the fourth step that a man can take is to terminate all his iniquity. Now watch this now. Because iniquity is the propensity in each of us to be something or not. We're meant to be this. We want to be something more. We want to have more than we should have, more than we can pay for, whatever the case is. Iniquity is to create an inequality. Instead of accepting the will of God for our condition, our status, we want something else. You see, a man is married to a wife here, but he wants someone else's wife. Behind that, sin is iniquity. We must terminate all iniquity. Otherwise, this iniquity in us becomes the drive towards sin, and sin becomes the fetters that bind us. So the fourth step a man is to take is to terminate iniquity. The fifth step is to obey all the commands of God. And I cannot tell you how joyful a way of life this really is. What does it mean to follow? Let's look at the scripture first. Because God says, if they obey, that's the next step. If they obey, what does it mean to obey all the commands? And why is that so delightful? It's because this, we live by commandment. And it's this simple. Before I decide or speak or act, I look first to see if God's a command that applies. And if he does, I obey that command joyfully all the time, without hesitation and without compromise. And we obey. Now look at this, number 6, to serve God unreservedly. If they obey and serve him, and look at number 7 now, they shall spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. A man who is not bound by any enemies will be able to protect, care, lead his wife, saving her from destruction. He will be able to protect, care, and lead his children, his whole household, saving them from destruction too. Make sure you've learned this lesson, what to do if you're bound.